Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Today, we are digging into a new sermon series called He Sees the Tension, and we're going to start off with the tension of marriage. We're going to see that there's a tension when it comes to marriage, and here's the tension. You're either going to do marriage God's way, or you're going to do marriage the world's way, and that's where the tension starts to come in. And we dig into this, and Jesus, he deals with the cultural issues of life. And here's what I want you to hear from me. The world all day long is talking to us about how we do marriage, about our sexual life, about all of those things. The world is talking to us all the time about it, and I think we've been too quiet in the church to stand up and say exactly what God's word has said. And a couple of caveats that I want you to know. One, I am not here to make you feel guilt and shame. I'm here to speak God's word to you. I'm not really, the enemy is concerned about your past. God's concerned about your future, right? So we're not going to be here to dig up your past because I believe that's already under the blood, hopefully, all right? What God is concerned about is your future. So if you have been in a sexual relationship outside of marriage in your past, I believe that God wants to heal that and you have a choice moving forward. If you've had a divorce in your past, you know that divorce ravages people. And my idea, my goal is not to dig that up and remind you of all of that stuff. My goal is to help you to look forward and go, I'm never having another one. I'm not going to be divorced again. We're going to do whatever it takes. And so hear me when I say, like, this is not a sermon that I want you to walk away feeling guilt and shame. If you feel guilt and shame, that means you haven't heard God's word for you. Conviction is a whole different matter because Jesus comes along and goes, listen, I want better. See, I want you to hear this. The enemy reminds you of your past. God reminds you of your future. So choose the voice you're going to listen to. I'm also going to tell you right now, you may have the feeling to be offended. Okay? Put that aside because what God wants to do in your life is to bring new revelation. Don't let offense hold you back from hearing what God's word has to say. All right? Let's dig into it. Here's what I know. If you will follow God's way, you're going to see your plans blessed. You're going to see your life blessed. You're going to see God do incredible things in your life. If you choose to walk the way of the world, there's destruction. You're never going to see what God has for you until you start lining your life up with him. This is alignment with God's plan and his principle. There are times that tension comes into our lives because we're trying to do something God created, but we're following the ways of the world instead of following God's direction to experience his best in your life. If you're walking through marriage right now and you're having difficulty, you don't need another marriage book. Dig into what God's word has to say about what it is to be married, and God will show you everything you need to know. You can't expect God's blessing if you aren't doing the things the way his word tells us to do it. If we align our lives to God's principles, you can always see a blessing. Doesn't always mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't always mean that. I think that's what we sometimes are confusing about is we're like, man, this is hard. Marriage is hard. Working together is hard. Staying married is hard. Paul and I have been married for 29 years. Can you imagine? 29 years. Right? And people are shocked when they hear that. They're like, 29 years, that doesn't happen anymore. Well, it needs to start happening. And I believe that young people today in our world are afraid of getting married because they've watched other marriages fail. And we need to show the world what it looks like to be married and to stick together and to stick it out and to hold on and to not give up and not to let the enemy win. Your kids need it. Your families need it. You need it. We need to succeed in marriage. Marriage is the foundation bedrock of our society. And as marriage crumbles and we try to redefine what marriage looks like, our society crumbles. That's why we have so much mental illness. That's why we have kids wanting to commit suicide. That's why we've got all of these things in our society. Have you ever wondered, like, and noticed the farther we walk away from God and his principles, the more messed up we become? That's society right now. So today I want to talk to you about what God's word has to say about marriages. And I want you to know it's not just for married couples because it starts the moment that you start thinking about dating. So for all the single ladies, all the single men in the house, I want to encourage you, if you're thinking about dating, if you're thinking about marriage, you better listen up. And remember, I didn't write it. God did. Marriage is one of the greatest blessings that God has given us, but it's one of the areas of life that can cause the greatest tension. Marriage is a great gift. It's literally, it's beautiful, it's messy, it's refining all at once. If you've been married for longer than 10 minutes, you probably realize that marriage reveals more about you than it does your spouse. God gave us marriage to make us holy, not happy. Let me say it again, because some people gauge their marriage, well, I'm just not happy anymore. You weren't supposed to be happy. God gave it so that you would be holy. And that God would bring along somebody into your life who has permission to speak in your life and go, listen, this is not okay. Well, I'm just giving up on my marriage because I'm not happy. You were not meant. Happiness will come when you follow God's direction. And am I saying I want your marriage to be miserable? No way. I want your marriage to be the greatest blessing in your life. And if you will follow God's way in his direction, I promise you that it will be. God gave us marriage not to make us happy, but holy. And we're coming to Matthew 19, 1 through 9. And I didn't write this stuff. This is God. And here's what I know about this. If you know the Bible, this is in red letters, which means this is Jesus speaking. Okay? Here we go. You ready? Yeah, it's going to be fun. All right. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went down to the region of Judea, east of the Jordan River. Large crowds followed him there, and he healed their sick. I love that. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed people. Everywhere he went. So we can believe in healing today. Some of you need healing in your marriage. It's coming today. Get ready. Some Pharisees came and tried to trap him with this question. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for just any reason? Well, that's what we think in America today. For any reason we want to, we can walk away. Jesus replied, haven't you read the scriptures? They record that from the beginning, God made them male and female. And I want you to hear me very carefully. Marriage is between a man and a woman, not a man and a man, and not a woman and a woman. So no matter what you see and what, like, that's how God created it. I told you it was going to be fun. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and a mother is joined to his wife and the two are united into one. I think Jesus might have said a man leaves his mother too, right? I don't know. I'm just kidding. He did say it. Yeah, he said it right there. Oh, yeah, he did. Okay. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. If you've got people in your life who are trying to split you apart, they need to get out of your life. They need to go. Then why did Moses say in the law that a man could give his wife a written notice of divorce and send her away? They asked. Jesus replied, Moses permitted divorce only as a concession to your hard hearts, but it was not what God had originally intended. And I tell you this, whoever divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery unless his wife has been unfaithful. Well, Pastor Jason, that is so old-fashioned. Well, good, let's go back to where it's old-fashioned because Jesus set it up right. We don't have some new idea of some new revelation of how marriage needs to be. This was how God set it up from the very beginning. And anything outside of what God set up, it's not going to work. There's tension because marriage just isn't about happiness. It's about holiness. It's not just about finding the right person. It's about becoming the right person. And here's the good news. Jesus sees the tension. He's in the middle of it. He sees the struggle. He sees the questions. He sees the moments when love feels more like work than romance. Guys, love is a verb. It's not some feeling that comes and goes. Well, I love you today, but man, you really take me off. I don't love you tomorrow. Like, no, it is a choice. It's a verb. You wake up every morning and you say, man, I choose to love my spouse. I choose to love who God brought me into my life. Listen, you might... like the honeymoon and like all the dating and all that stuff. It's like you see all the flowers and the beautiful weddings and the honeymoon night and all that stuff. And the ring gets on and then Monday morning hits and reality comes to play. It begins to work. Right? He sees the struggle. He goes back to the beginning. He says, haven't you read? God made them male and female. And in other words, let's go back to what God intended marriage to be. We do not have a right to redefine it. Wow. In our world today, you hear people saying, well, I'm just going to live my truth. Well, how's that working for you? As your life is broken, as you've not followed God's way and you don't have his blessing upon your life. Divorce has become an easy out in our world today. And the divorce in the church matches divorce in the world, which is heartbreaking. Wow. Here's what I want you to know. Divorce tears people apart. If you've had to be a part of one, you know what I'm saying. That spirit of divorce will literally ravage your life. And the kids are a part of it is what's really sad to me. People use happiness as the gauge. There's going to be times in marriage where you're not happy. When marriage vows are taken, we say for better or for worse. There are times when it will be better, and there are times when it will be worse. But you hold on and you stick it out. You must be dedicated to sticking it out when it gets tough. And Paula, in our marriage, divorce is a cuss word. We don't even say the word. Because the minute you say it, the minute you start thinking there's an out, and there is not an out. The brokenness that comes from divorce is monumental and tragic. I also believe that divorce is a generational curse that you have to stop. You watch your grandparents get divorced. You watch your mom and dad get divorced. You're on the way to divorce. That's a generational curse that God needs to break, and he can do it. And I promise you, you get to the other side when that curse is broken, you're going to break it for your kids. And you're going to see a blessing that comes with marriage. Our world needs to see healthy marriages today that make it. Healthy marriages that survive when things get difficult. We build the bedrock of healthy society. God created it that way. If we do things God's way, you can break free from the curse of divorce. Doing marriage God's way starts the moment that we choose to date. If we will do his marriage in the process of getting married his way, there's incredible blessing. If you're at the point of giving up on your marriage, I promise you, don't give up. Get some help. And we're here to help you. And I want to tell you something. If you need marriage counseling, don't go to a secular marriage counselor. You need a Christ-centered marriage counselor who's going to help you with the way and not let you give up. And if you need help finding one, we're committed to helping you, and we'll be there to do it with you. This message is important for people who are married in the room and single people who are hoping to get married. My hope and prayer is that Christians would engage in the idea of biblical marriage and wholeheartedly commit to following God's way when it comes to marriage. So I want to share with you four keys to walk through tension in marriage and how we avoid divorce and walking in a marriage that God created and designed. First of all, key number one, God designed marriage to reflect his heart. Marriage was one of the first things he created. If you go back to Genesis 2, that was one of the first things he did. He recognized Adam was a hot mess without some help. That's still the truth today. We need a wife in our life to bring us to accountability. Guys, come on, guys, we're squirrely, all right? Guys without weight on their shoulders are squirrely. You're like those pickups with no sandbags. You're like, whoa. The minute you get married, that responsibility gets on your back end, and you are like, okay, here we go. Guys, there's a reason why God gave you bigger shoulders than your wife. Wives, put it on your husband's shoulders and stop trying to control everything. Make them step up and say, you're the guy with the bigger shoulders, not me. That's where responsibility comes in. Marriage was man's idea. Marriage was not man's idea. It was God's design. God created a marriage as a picture of his covenant love, committed, faithful, forgiving, and enduring. If you can get those four things right in a marriage, let me say it again. Committed, faithful, forgiving, and enduring. If you get those four things right, you've got a marriage. He sees the sign. God designed marriage to be a place of oneness, not constant division. You are not called to go home and have a war zone in your house. You need to be unified. If you're fighting all the time, stop it. One of the things the Lord really challenged me one day is he said, listen, the world has already hurt your wife bad enough. You don't need to hurt her anymore. So stop. I go, yes, Lord. And I've tried to do my best. We're not trying to dominate each other. Not two people coexisting, but one flesh, one mission, one heart. The world needs it. You need it. Your family needs it. He also sees the difference. He made them male and female. Marriage is meant to celebrate that difference, not erase it. Our differences are meant to complement, not compete. You don't have to compete to win something. If you will literally come together and complement, you're going to see God do incredible things. And I want to submit to you that the reason the enemy's after you so much and causing all this heartache is he knows what can happen when you come together and you're one. You will be unstoppable. The very tension of in your marriage may be also the tool that God uses to refine both of you. Remember that God uses marriage to make us holy, not happy. And I'm going to say that a couple of times so you remember it. If God created and defined marriage, the world doesn't get to redefine it and tell us how marriage should work. Stop going to the world for what marriage needs to look like and start going to God's word. When you follow the world's way instead of God's way, there will be brokenness and things won't work. That's where the tension comes in. You can't have a foot in both worlds. Well, I'm going to try it the world's way and I'm going to do it God's way. You will never succeed. You got to have your foot right here, your feet right here, and saying together we're doing it God's way. We're going to find out what marriage looks like. We're going to love each other like never before. We're going to work through the difficulties and the challenges. I want to challenge you. Wholeheartedly reject the world's ways and ideas on marriage. Every bit of it. And say, God, I want to know what your word says. You might be new to the faith. You might go, I don't even know what God's word says. Dig into it. Start finding out what God's word has to say about your marriage. It's like trying to put water in a car instead of gas. It doesn't work that well. If you've ever done it, you realize all of a sudden your car's not going anywhere. You must love God. You must love like God calls us to love. I've said it. Love is a verb. It's not a feeling. You make a choice to love, and sometimes it's not always easy to love our spouse. Sometimes you wake up and you go, man, that person is driving me crazy. You can't fall in and out of love. Well, I'm walking away from my marriage. I just don't feel that love anymore. I don't feel that spark anymore. Well, welcome to marriage. It's a verb. You're not going to have this romantic feeling your whole life. You don't need it. You can choose to love each other and say, okay, we're going to love and we're going to serve each other. And that's what God's called us to do. To love like we are called to love, you have to guard your hearts from becoming bitter. Some of you, the best thing you can do is to forgive your spouse. Maybe it might mean if you've been divorced, forgive them for that so you can move forward. If you allow the hurt and the bitterness to grow in your life, all it's going to do is tear you apart. Key number two, you guys ready? All right. Do marriage the way God tells us to do marriage. A lasting, life-giving marriage starts way before you're married. If you want your marriage to last, you must choose a spouse the way God tells us to date the way God tells us to approach the way marriage the way God tells us to. You can't live like the world and expect God's blessing and hand on your marriage. So all the young people, single people that you're starting to look at, like who you want to date, who you want to marry, I have a little bit of advice for you from God's word. Don't even consider dating a person unless that person is a believer. You will be unequally yoked. And it never works. I've heard people, well, you know, like they're not a believer now, but I could definitely like, I can lead them to Christ. No, you're going to become more like them than them become more like you. Don't date somebody. It cannot even be an option. It can't even be an option. Lord, I'm going to look for a believer. I don't want to be unequally yoked. Don't compromise on this. Don't even give in. Don't open your heart to a person if a person isn't a believer. Don't settle for second best. Don't date a person if there's no chance you're going to marry them. There's brokenness that comes along with that. And I know some of you in this room, you're like, man, I'm so thankful my spouse loved me when I wasn't saved. I'm thankful they did too. But I want to challenge you. Look at somebody who's a believer that has their heart open to God, and that's who you need to be looking at. You ready for the next one? How many of you are ready? Stop sleeping together outside of marriage. 85% of marriages that begin with sex outside of marriage end in divorce. Here's what I want you to know about this. Sex is more than just a physical act. It's a spiritual act. The Bible says that we become one, that we begin to have our soul ties when we have sex with another person. And it's not just casual. It's not just, oh, I'm going to sleep around and hopefully it all, you know. I mean, there are people that will sleep with somebody before they're even dating. And what happens is it creates a soul tie. And every person that you do that with, it takes a piece of your heart. And it breaks you. And God is saying, I have a better way. There's a cost that comes along. Listen, and I want to challenge you, even living with somebody ahead of marriage, you are not test driving a car. Don't move in with somebody until you're married.
Come on, that's right.
Well, I'm just trying to see if we can make it. Listen, 85% of marriages start out that way end in divorce. Do not compromise in this area. Don't give the enemy an inch. If you're in a struggling marriage, and here's, I want to challenge you, because I think marriages will struggle that started out this way, and that might mean that you need to repent to each other.
Wow.
You got married, you were sleeping together beforehand, and it might be that God, we need to repent. And when you repent, all of a sudden, God brings this blessing that comes into your life. Listen, your marriage is not over. It's just a matter of taking care of business with God. There's nothing casual about sex. The Bible tells us that we pay a big price. In fact, the Bible says that when we participate in sexual sin of any kind, it's the one sin that hurts our own body. It's a sin against our own body. Once you get married, don't even open the door with someone of the opposite sex. Don't play around with it. It is like playing with fire. And especially if your marriage is in a difficult place, it's easy for the enemy goes, well, you just maybe need to open this door. Maybe you need to go back and talk to a hot flame that you used to have. I don't know what it is, but don't even open the door. I'm going to say this because God dropped some things in my heart to say, and I really think it's important. Pornography should not be a part of the marriage bed. At all. Because it's false, it doesn't work, and it gives you a false sense of what God is trying to do in your life. Key number three, remember, God sees us when we're struggling. If you're struggling in your marriage today, God sees it, and he wants to help. Jesus does not condemn those who struggle. He sees the pain behind the question. If you've struggled sleeping together outside of marriage, and that's a struggle for you, put it on the altar. God wants to help you. It's not about condemnation. It's about conviction and moving forward for the future. When the Pharisees asked, can a man divorce his wife for any reason? Jesus responded by elevating marriage. He acknowledges the reality of brokenness. In verse 8, he says, Moses permitted divorce only as a concession to your hard hearts. But it was not what God had originally intended. I never want a concession because my heart is hard. I want all that God has. Listen, God gave in to their concession because they had hard hearts. But it's not what God had originally intended. And I think God's saying, like, hey, listen, like, if that's the way you want to live, we have free will, but you're not going to have all that I have for you. Jesus recognized that sometimes our hearts get hard. In marriage, we've got to guard our hearts. If your heart is hard towards your spouse right now, you need Jesus to break it down and to melt your heart. Sometimes the brokenness of the world seeps in and affects what God had made beautiful. Jesus also reminded that God's intention hasn't changed. Even when your heart feels hard, he can soften it. Even when your marriage feels distant, he can restore it. Even when you feel unseen in your relationship, he sees you. He sees the tears that fall behind closed doors. He sees the prayers that go unanswered for now. He sees the spouse who's fighting for the relationship when it feels one-sided. Don't go by what you feel, go by what you know. Some of the deepest hurts can come from our spouse. And the key to working through this, and I've said it before today, is practicing forgiveness. One of the things Paul and I have always tried to live by is not letting the sun go down on our anger. If we're mad at each other, it doesn't always work perfect, but we're not going to go days being mad at each other because days will turn into very big deals, right? And some of you are so mad at your spouse, you need to forgive them. This fight needs to stop. Let God help you to forgive your spouse. You need to make sure that you don't intentionally hurt your spouse. Ask God to be careful with your words and actions. Some of you have sharp tongues, and you use it to slice up your spouse. Don't do it anymore. The world does enough of that. The enemy wants us to hurt our spouse. God wants us to love our spouse. Part of being whole is experiencing individual healing also. Listen, when you bring brokenness to a marriage, it doesn't magically go away. In fact, the enemy highlights it. So that brokenness and triggers and the things that will hit us, That's where we need healing on our own. Some of you are waiting for your marriage to be healed, and God's saying, I'm waiting for you to be healed, and then everything will be healed together. You must be willing to say, I'm sorry, and really mean it. If you are in the wrong, humble yourself and apologize. It's freeing. That means for some, we need to put our pride down, and we need to admit that we were wrong. You got to admit that you're wrong. A pastor used to tell me all the time, if we knew the power of the word, I'm sorry, we would use it way more often. And none of this, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry because you did this. How about just coming and saying, I am sorry. I want wholeness in our marriage. I don't want this battle anymore. Key number four, God can redeem the tension. The moment a ring is put on your finger, the enemy does everything he can to pull your marriage apart. Don't let him. Be aware of it. He goes into overtime because he knows the power of a God-centered marriage. He knows what it's going to do for your kids. He knows what it's going to do for your church. He knows what it's going to do for the community. A God-centered marriage is powerful. And you put Jesus in the center of it, and he will help you through it. It doesn't mean you're not going to have to work through things. But what it means when you work through things, you love each other, and you want the best for each other. I've seen it so many times. We've coached couples before. That's why the first 1, 2, 3 years of marriage is so hard, because the enemy's doing everything he can to pull you apart. And you're learning about stuff in your life that needs to go away. The tension in marriage is not meant to drive you apart. It's meant to drive you to God. The Pharisees wanted a loophole, and Jesus offered healing. Where religion says, find a way, Jesus says, let me in. I want to help you. Will you let Jesus into your marriage today? Make him the center. See, a lot of times in marriage, Jesus is over here. But do you remember, what are those, they call those, like a baby, they play it above their heads. What's that called? A mobile. Do you know, like a mobile, everything centers around the center of that thing? Let Jesus be the center, and then let everything else center around that. Put him as number one. The same God who joined you together can hold you together. And listen, Jesus has to be number one in our lives for this to work. So how do we do this? I want you to see your spouse the way God sees them, not as your enemy, but as your teammate. Pray together. A couple that prays together realigns their hearts under God's authority. Fight for unity, not victory. I don't care who wins. It's unity, not victory. Winning an argument can cost you the war. Invite Jesus into the tension. Let him be the one who holds your marriage when your strength runs out. Let him be at the center of your marriage. Everything else centers on him. When tension enters the marriage, invite Jesus into that tension. And some of you, you've been fighting for a long time, and Jesus is waiting to get in the door and say, okay, let me come in and help you. In a world that treats marriage as temporary, Jesus reminds us that the covenant is sacred. When you put this ring on, you're making a promise before God. He reminds you that he sees the human side, the pain, the confusion, the exhaustion, the hope. If your marriage is strong, keep building. If your marriage is struggling, don't give up. If your marriage is broken, know that God still sees, still loves, and still redeems, and your marriage is worth it. You are going to make it. You're going to see God do incredible things. Don't give up. Don't give up. The tension isn't meant to destroy you. It's meant to develop you. So to couples in the room, invite God into the tension today. To individuals, ask God to soften your heart toward your spouse, your past, or your future. Ask him to help you to date the right way. To everyone, remember, he sees. He sees the beginning, he sees the struggle, and he sees the redemption that's possible when we trust him. There's a couple things I want to do that the Lord is very clear today. First of all, we're going to give people an opportunity to get saved. Second thing we're going to do, there's some couples, you're right on the edge. The spirit of divorce has been after your marriage since the moment you said, I do. Wow. And I'm going to ask you to get up in a moment and come up here. We want to pray and break that spirit off. You're not going to be divorced. You're going to live. You're going to let God do incredible things in your life. There's also people in the room that you have experienced divorce. You walked through it with your parents. You're broken. You don't even know how to do it. And you need God to set you free from that. And we're going to pray here in just a moment that God would set you free from the power. And like, I believe that it's going to generationally break generational strongholds in your family so your kids are not going to have to experience it. Your kids are not going to be broken like you were because God is going to help you to walk through this. So will you bow your heads across this room? If you're here and you say, Pastor, I have not given my life to Jesus. I have not surrendered. Maybe you even raised your hand. Maybe you've been sitting in church your whole life, but you've never surrendered your life. And today Jesus is saying, today's your day to surrender. Today's your day to believe in me, to confess that I'm your Savior, and to believe with your heart that Jesus came to save you. If that's you, you're like, man, I need Jesus. I need him desperately. If that's you, raise your hand right now if there's anybody. Right there, one. Come on. Anybody else? Anybody else? You know, the Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one person. Is there anybody else today that would say, maybe you're away from him. Maybe you knew him at one point, but you're away. And you say, today I need to rededicate my life to him. If that's you, just lift up a hand right now. I want to pray for you. We're going to pray. Will you stand across this room? We're going to pray with our brother who just raised his hand. My friend, you have made the best decision of your life. Jesus loves you. Will you just pray this prayer? And listen, at Hope City, we all pray together because we're a family. We're all praying this together. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Thank you for loving me when I couldn't even love myself. Thank you that you died for me. Today I say, you drive and I'll ride. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you, listen, if you raise your hand, we have a Bible out at Next Steps. We want you to go out there afterwards, meet Jeremy and Tiffany, and they want to bless you. If you're a husband and a wife here today, and you feel like that spirit of divorce has been after you, maybe that's all you've been thinking about is like, how can I get out of this? What can I do to break this? Like, how do I, and that spirit of divorce is just plaguing you. I want you to grab each other's hands, and I want you to come up to this altar right now. We want to pray and break it off you. Come on. Come on. If there's anybody, listen, come on, be bold. Come on. Come on. Let's not play games. If that is happening, and our prayer team is going to come and meet you up here. We're standing with you today. If you feel like that spirit of divorce has been after your marriage and like that's what you've been thinking about, come right now. Come on. If that's you. If you're a person that you've been broken in divorce, your life is maybe your parents, that happened to your parents, maybe it's been generational, and you're like, man, I am broken, and I need God's help. I want you to step out right now. Come, if that's you. You're like, I don't even know how to do this, but I've been broken as I've watched divorce in my family. Come on right now. And Jeff and Kelly, will you come? I want you to pray for somebody up here. Will you guys come? If there's anybody else that wants to come, we want to surround these guys, maybe Barry and Cher. Would you guys grab a couple here? We want to be with you. Listen, this is not a moment to condemn you. It's a moment where you're going to find freedom. If you've been broken, if your life, you just know you're at that spot where you need Jesus' help, we're going to break that spirit of divorce off right now. Will you pray? In church, this is not them standing alone. Reach your hands out. Let's begin to pray right now. If that's you, come on. Church, across this room, lift your hands out and begin to pray that these marriages are going to make it. Lord, right now, we break off the spirit of divorce in the name of Jesus, and we speak the spirit of life right now. Lord God, I pray right now healing and wholeness, God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you're a God that wants the best in our lives, Lord. And God, I pray that the generational curses would be broken off families right now. Lord Jesus, that these marriages are going to work and not tear apart. Lord God, we're going to see you do incredible things in our marriages, Lord. I pray that today would be a fresh start right now. Lord, we thank you for your presence, God. We thank you, God, that you're a God that created marriage. And Lord, you designed it for our best, God. And Lord, these are moments right now. Again, God, I pray for every person that's been ravaged by divorce, God. We pray, God, that your spirit would come and that your presence would just begin to pour down upon them right now. Lord God, we thank you. God, I thank you for the marriages that are in this room. Lord God, I thank you that they're going to make it. God, I thank you, Jesus, that you have an incredible plan for them. Lord, Jesus, man, you're moving in such a powerful way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you praise right now. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. And listen, whenever we ask God to do something, we give him praise, even when we haven't seen him do anything because we know he's at work. Come on, let's give God some praise for what he's doing down at this altar. And couples, all the couples in this room, here's what I want you to hear. You're going to walk away today, and the enemy is going to give an opportunity for the biggest fight of your life. Don't buy into it. Stop him. Stop him and say, not today. Not today. We're going to love each other. We're going out to the park. We're going to have a great time. We're not fighting anymore. We're not fighting anymore. Lord, right now I pray a blessing over every person. God, I pray that as we walk out what you've called us to do, Lord, we'd see your best, God. Lord, I thank you that this week is going to be a new week for couples, God. Lord, I thank you that your week, this week, is going to be not a week of strife, but of healing and wholeness and love. And God, that love being an action and a verb, Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And
thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.